right. This is a special evening to be able to welcome you to as we focus on Scioto Hills tonight. So we'll do that here in a few moments. But welcome. Some prayer requests as we get started tonight. We want to continue to pray for Tom Rollins as he's recovering from his back surgery. Our brother Eddie Jenkins, who usually sits in the back there, is facing surgery this week. Want to be praying for him. I just got back from seeing Richard Jackson. Richard did have surgery Friday and is very weak. He's not in the pain that he was in, so we're thankful for that, but he's just really weak, and we want to ask the Lord to give them grace as they deal with this. Kevin Smith heads to Nepal on Wednesday. Excited about that opportunity for that team to go and serve there the next couple of weeks. Just lots of prayer requests, actually, as I look down the list, but those are some of the highlights. We continue to pray for Kimmy and TJ. Kimmy's grandmother went to be with the Lord, and that funeral was this week. So any announcements or prayer requests that anyone would like to make tonight? We'll take a few moments to do that and then have prayer. Douglas? Okay. If you didn't hear, Douglas was Steve and Marquita's son, Travis, injured his arms in a sort of a freak thing he was lifting and tore both bicep areas. And so he's having an MRI on that tomorrow. Is that what you said? Yeah. Good. Well, let's call on the Lord as we meet now. What a joy, our Father, to talk to you together as your children, to come around your throne. We worship you, our dear Father, your Son at your right hand is our Savior. And we have this privilege to just come into your presence. We have not earned this honor. We have been given it to you. We love you because you have first loved us. And you've demonstrated that love in amazing ways. The greatest being the gift of your own Son. It's a privilege for us to together ask for your help in these different people's lives that we love and care about that are facing different things. And we just say, Father, you're a good Father. We trust you. We ask you to help them. We pray for healing and encouragement, for strength to endure. It's one of the things your word shows us is that you work through adversity, through trial, through sickness, through persecution, through opposition. You work through difficulty to show yourself, to show the beauty of the gospel. So while we ask for healing and relief and help, we ask most of all that your kingdom would come and your will would be done, for the people would come to know you as they watch our loved ones go through these challenges. That family members would be drawn to you, that you would make yourself known in very wonderful ways so that we can look back and just say how amazing you are. We trust you, and we thank you for the privilege to just, as your Son taught us, to pray for your glory and then for our needs. So, Father, tonight is a real answer to prayer. At the beginning of the summer especially and way back through the year, we're praying about Scioto Hills and the opportunity to impact children and families and asking your blessing, the provision of staff and all that it takes to have a summer of ministry. And you have heard our prayer, and we are so looking forward to hearing the answers to those prayers tonight as we reflect on how you worked at Scioto Hills. We just want to say thank you, and our hearts are wide open to hear and to then just praise you. So thank you for the privilege to be together. In Christ's name, amen. All right. Well, we love Scioto Hills. We love what God's doing there. And tonight's our Scioto Hills night. And we turn it over to Scott and look forward to what the Lord has in store.
All right. It's hard to believe, y'all, we've been here for 17 summers. It doesn't seem to be possible. The Lord has called us from those little mountains out in Colorado to the tall mountains here in southern Ohio and West Virginia, right? What a delight it has been to be part of the camp and part of our church family. And thanks for being here tonight. I just thought I should dress, you know, and wear my work clothes to church tonight. So if you're wondering, I'm just dressed for camp. But we studied Book Ephesians, and man, there's so much in here. But now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. That's the last verse of chapter 3. And we're just delighted to see what the Lord has done at the camp. And we're going to try to share that with you a little bit tonight and get going on this thing. So we didn't do kids camps for the last two summers, right? We had to make some changes. We talked to you about that here about a year ago or so. And I just want to remind you that as a Christian ministry independent of the church, we do not function independently of the church in a very real sense. Our mission statement says that we're an arm of the local church. Obviously, our relationship with Wheelersburg Baptist is completely unique. I think, you know, our camp staff makes up about one-fifth of the church attendance here. It's just unique in that sense. But we see ourselves as an extension of the church. We do not want to replace the church. We want to promote that because we believe that the church is what God has ordained to win the world for Christ and to make disciples. And we see ourselves simply in a partnership with that. And we want this Christ-centered program and an attractive outdoor setting. And we want to develop our campers and their hearts and their minds, their physical body, and the relationships, all for the glory of God, and to do that in accordance with God's word. And I tell people all the time that, and if we just get away from the scriptures as being paramount in our ministry, we might as well close the camp, because there's all kinds of places kids can go to have fun, right? We want to make sure that our fun connects to their spiritual walk. So, and you know, our staff, 8 of the 9 families, actually 9 of the 10 families with Cindy Ruggles, they attend church here. We average about 13 years experience at Scioto Hills Christian Camp. And the amazing thing is that's untouched by any other camp. And the camp traditionally has a revolving door. It might have a few people in leadership, but typically there is a revolving door of workers. One, we don't pay them enough. We don't pay our people enough either. And then they get on to other things. But we've got folks on our team, they believe in ministry, they believe in camp, and they bleed Scioto Hills, and so we're thankful for our permanent staff. Unfortunately, most of them, after 11 weeks of ministry, are on vacation or getting back from vacation. I mean, you guys were in Cedarville yesterday. So we got Douglas here, and then Michael and Caitlin might be here. You know, so, yeah, most of them are gone here tonight, so nothing we could do about that. I want you to see, if you're a grandparent, you have no kids, or you're a parent, I want you to see and treat an experience at camp like part of your child's Christian education curriculum. See it as part of their growth process, and don't see it as a bucket list idea where, yeah, I went to summer camp and now I'm going to go to Kings Island next summer or whatever. See it as a regular part of their Christian development, as same with Sunday school and the same with VBS or whatever else we do. And it's designed there to have an impact on them year after year, right? And the big idea would be that they come away from their where they do life, their popular culture, and they can come to our hills and just wrestle and focus on the big issues of life and how that relates to the Lord. But this year's theme from the book of Ephesians was mercy and grace, Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 9. And I'm going to stretch us a little bit because we're going to do our theme song with you. And I know Rex is pumped to hear it again. There you go. Randy, you're going to have to, you know, enjoy this a little bit, my brother. So this is not a Sunday morning song, right? It's a camp song designed to engage kids. And we've always been doing songs with kids with emotions. Right? Only a boy named David, only a little sling, and Zacchaeus was a wee little man, right? And, you know, deep and wide, and there's a fountain flowing. Remember that one, right? So we've always done motion songs. It just now we have the technology and all that to make them a little more fun, right? So this song, as we looked at Ephesians 2, and we're going to quote the verses here in a few minutes, and kids, if you'll come up, those that went to camp, and I'm going to have you get up on the stage, if you would, and help me with this. Those of you that know it, come on. Here we go. We need a few of you. Thanks, Carter. Yep. Drew, Big Drew, you can come. Yep. Campbell and Brady, good. And I'll get up there with you, and we'll try to remember it all together. And so Ephesians 2, mercy and grace, that idea that the kids need to understand that God in His mercy holds back what we deserve to be. We're a child of wrath, but He holds that back because of His love for us. And then His grace, He gives us the gift of salvation, what we don't deserve. That was the big idea, and it just fits into this idea that there's bad news related to the good news of the gospel. If you do not get the bad news first, then the good news isn't as good as it really should be. And so this song just goes perfectly with it, and some of the phrasing even comes from Ephesians 2. So we're going to stretch you a little bit, but we've also done happy dance here before in the church, so I'm just reminding some of you of that. And I want you to stand up. Gary, you stand up too. Here we go. And this is called Made Alive. And this was our summer theme song. You guys all right with this? Now, that screen may not keep up with us, all right? So we're going to have to do it from memory. All right, so here we go.
I once was dancing alone and child of wrath, I walked condemned in darkness. But your mercy brought new life, and in your loving kindness raised me up.
said, TJ came up with those motions, and this reminds me of the Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and he's an old Disney nut. But just wonderful lyrics, and the kids heard that song over and over again. It's catchy, and it teaches them truth that goes along with what we call our reality check. And our reality check is this idea. It's our Bible memorization program. And we know that kids live in a world, we all live in a world that questions truth, that would tell you that you can't know what truth is. But we would say you can know truth because truth is a person. Jesus Christ is truth. And if we know him, we'll know truth. And so we talk to the kids and we want them to go to the Bible to check what's real. And so we call this our reality check. And when we first started it, it was Psalm 34:7, I think, one verse. And we added motions to that. And then we added a few more. And then we said, you know what, we think we can tackle more. Now it's a whole science and it's a language. It's not a deaf friendly language. We have our own motions for different things that we use, and we count the number of words that we think a kiddo can learn in a week, and that's around 180 words. And so this year is the Ephesians 2, 1 through 9, and almost always you would go through 10, right, for his workmanship. And we did spend a whole day in verse 10 as part of our daily theme. But so when we talk about this idea of memorizing God's word and it's time for a reality check, we cheer because now we get to quote and say God's word together. It's a really cool element of camp. And I think for the most part, this will test all of us because I don't think I've done it for a few weeks either. Of course, you guys have done it every night, right? Before you go to bed, right, Drew? So this is it, and we're going to do it. And those of you in the audience that may know it, say it with us. Otherwise, we'll do it together for you. And we always say, "What time is it? Time for a reality check." Some of our family camp people just say, "I just do it without the motions. The motions throw me off," or something. But we try to do that, and we teach a little bit of it every day. So here, no, it's our 58th summer, and we just say camp still works. The story of life change in the camp setting continues, and we rejoice in that. We're so thankful for your prayers and partnership in that. And I just review this. If we sat in the front, you could see that better. But it's okay. I see mine fine. So here's why camp works, all right? And I'll just tell you, there are camps that cost $1,800 a week. There's camps that the kids sleep in converted B-52 bombers, or they have massive go-karts or skateboard parks, or they have 80-person hot tubs or whatever. So there's those big boys, and then there's camp in your backyard in a tent with a little fire and s'mores, and it works, right? It just works. And the reason it works is because it's not normal in that sense. It's not ordinary. So it's a counterculture. We say it's a culture that doesn't exist anywhere else. And I've used this before, and I don't know how better to describe it. Where else can you put 8 to 10-year-old boys in an 1800s log cabin for 1 week where none of them change their underwear, right? That's pretty unique. And you put them in a cabin with a 19, 20, 21-year-old guy. That's a unique thing, right? It's a temporary community that's designed to accomplish a mission. So we work with our permanent staff and our summer staff to do that. And we're all on mission to pour in to the kids. We're out in God's creation. The average student, according to studies, the average student spends 4 minutes a week in unsupervised outdoor play. It doesn't even seem real. Southern Ohio, I think, would be very unique in that sense. Think about a kid living in downtown New York, right? So there's tons of unique fun. There's all kinds of activities that we have. And there's this intense spiritual impact that gets them away from their popular routine where they do life. They're away from their video. They're from their games, their phones, their movies, all that stuff. And they're able to wrestle with the big picture, the big issues of life. And then by God's grace, the Spirit of God works in their heart and wonderful results happen. We can't guarantee those things happen, but the program, the design of that works beautifully, right? So then, because we don't want them to stay at camp forever, we send them back home, right, where they do life, and they hopefully will impact their popular culture. I have had parents call me and say, we've been doing family devotions ever since, for over 2 years now, since my daughter went to high school camp. So there's been a lot of that happen. So our church family, Wheelersburg, is just really unique in that sense. So we had 16 campers this summer. We had one full-time summer staffer, Drew, this year. We've had as many as 5 or 6 or 7 in the past. We've had lots of volunteer help from the adult Edwards kids. They all came in from different places, and they helped us. Pastor Brad and Rex spoke at our family camps. Michael and Pam and I and Rex did workshops at our high school camp. And then we had a number of people volunteer, especially in the kitchen and lifeguarding, and I hope I got them all on our list there. But we're so thankful for the ones that came out and helped us with that. So lots of stories happen at camp, and we're going to take just a few minutes to hear from a few people. So I'm going to have Drew come and Carter and Colton come. And then, Rex, I don't know if you wanted to say a quick word or not about your time, or Pastor, if you wanted to do that, or if there's anyone that was a volunteer this summer, if you want to share that. I didn't ask you in advance, but I thought if you wanted to, you can. Then Pete's going to share a little bit about his role this summer as well. So the stories, it amazed me. When I first came to camp, I met some of the people from, in fact, they're part of Cedarville University's basketball leadership team. When I first met them, they said, all you need to do is just tell people the story, right? Tell the people the story of life change, and just continues to go on today. So let's have Drew come up, and Colton and Carter, if you guys want to come sit up here. Pete, you can make your way up too if you want, but you can, there you go. And I just asked them to share their experience from the summer, just obviously around the time restraint, right? But go ahead. Thanks.
All right. So whenever I was first told that I was going to be doing this, so about this morning, I had a bunch of things from the summer pop into my mind. You know, a lot happens whenever there's, 35 of us living in one camp, all getting to know each other. A lot of really cool things happen, and whenever we're all serving together with one goal, it's just a lot of cool things happen. I'd say one of my favorite is I worked the whole summer on New Frontier, which is the elementary kids, and whenever it came time for our mini camp and Revolution, so our like really little kids and the high schoolers, I was put with Revolution. I had been around these elementary kids, and now I was going to get guys that could potentially be older than me in my cabin. So I was a little bit nervous going into the week, but I think just having a strong group of guys in the cabin with me, because the A-frames, there's a cabin above us too, so I had three other guys on staff with me. Just having that group, we were all able to feed into the campers well. And from my knowledge, the guys in our cabin all became really good friends from this week, and none of them knew each other going in. And so they just respected me in the cabin. I didn't tell them that they were barely younger than me, but I'm pretty sure they knew by the way I was, and I'm pretty sure they could guess I was still in high school too. I don't know. Is that good?
Thanks. Betsy, are you wanting to do this? I know there was a little bit of, but I don't want to leave the girls out. Okay. Colton?
Same thing for me, Drew. Oh, okay.
So they can see you.
All right. Same thing for me, Drew. I had no idea I was going to do this until this morning. Camp is amazing. It has so many fun activities like the rock wall, zip line, and the Goliath swing. It also had great sermons. I learned more about mercy and grace, and that without it, we would all be dead. But the most important thing I learned at camp was to be more humble and faithful. I learned to put others ahead of myself. This applies in school, sports, and other things. For example, I can be kind to others at school and in sports and help them when they need it. And in sports, you can be grateful for the opportunities that He has given me. You can also be faithful to God by walking with Him closely in the things I do. It's also good to make new friends that I probably never would have met if it weren't for camp. And I look forward to next year. So.
Nice. Thanks, man. So does that include being kind to your sisters? Yeah, okay. Carter?
Same thing for me, Drew, too. I wasn't told till this morning that I was going to do this. My favorite part about camp was probably, like, how much time we got to spend in the Word, because, like, at our house and stuff, like, sometimes, like, you don't have time for the Word because you're so busy, but, like, camp, we focus so much on it, and that really helped me to, like, reconnect. And then I felt like the group of guys that we had, they were pretty awesome. You know, like we did some basketball and stuff. And then the zip line was really fun.
Did you have some stuff happen in your cabin where some kids made some decisions?
Yes, we had one person. He had like never heard about God or anything, and he was saved that week.
I was trying to practice that where Timothy says to be ready to give an answer, right? So, thanks, guys. Bets? One last time. All right. I don't know if Any volunteers that were here that helped us somewhere, if you want to say something or not, don't have to. So I'm going to have Pete come up, and Pete and Megan came a few years ago now, 2020, and Pete's our volunteer project coordinator, and it's just been a blessing to be able to have that position taken care of and filled, and beginning to work on things, making works with our donor base, and then also does some things in the office. She ended up that's a surprise, I think, being our head lifeguard. She came to swim, but that's cool. So it's been a blessing to have them here. And if you want, I've got several pictures in there you can advance right there.
Okay. So I've been waiting for this moment for 3 years. I've been practicing. I have no idea the order of slides, but this will be fun. So my role at camp is volunteer project coordinator, which in the summer times is kind of different. Like during off season, we're working on projects constantly throughout camp. And for this particular summer, we had three that we were kind of working on right before the summer started. One was the craft cabin, which I'm assuming we'll see here. Is it the first slide? Oh, there it is. Okay. So we had several groups come in and help us with that. Where's Chief Stormcloud? He helped us with that a little bit. We had some other guys. Oh, Steve helped us with that. And then we had a group, Dan Edwards Home Church, Camden, came down. They helped us put the roof on our craft cabin. And then we had a group from Calvary come do the flooring. So that it was neat to work with churches from all over the state, get to meet a lot of people, serve together for a common purpose. So that's been cool. During the summertime for me, I'm working with Seekers. So has anybody been a Seeker? Rex, nice. Rex was probably like the perfect Seeker, I bet. So what Seekers are basically youth groups that come in for the week. They work with the New Front side of camp. So they're doing the chapels. Their youth pastor will come in, speak during the chapel time. And then they're youth group is helping out during that time, but also during the week they're going to be helping out with service projects around camp. So I'm in charge of kind of organizing them, getting them to help out with different things around camp. So we might see some of those in these slideshows here. So the big thing about the craft cabin, it doubled the size of our working space. I can go backwards. Sweet. So inside we could do one cabin, but now we've expanded it to almost having three cabins with having the new porch out back. So that was a huge blessing this summer for sure. All right, another project we worked on, we actually had, what was his name from out west again?
Yeah, Anderson.
Yeah, so he helped us. We started, so yeah, Scott's been wanting to work on the animal barn for a few years now. Adding a new goat pen, just kind of giving it a facelift. It's been a few years, so we had some help with replacing a lot of wood rot. We ended up painting the entire barn, and we painted the fences. I believe Hartsong did that. Hartsong was here for a week. It was kind of random. They came for a family camp week, which is awesome. They let us with our worship time, but then they had a few days where they could serve around camp, so we had them paint the animal barn fence. That was cool. One of our other projects we worked on before camp, we expanded our boat dock. Before, it was two docks that kind of went out. We connected them, put Trex decks down, so it's going to last, supposedly, until the rapture. And then we put an awning on. You don't see it in that picture, but the awning was a huge blessing, especially for those lifeguards that were working the boat dock area, because during the middle of the summer when it gets blazing hot out there, you're just sweating your face off. So with the awning, you could be under there, have a little shade. So that was nice. We replaced both decks on A4. We got a driveway. This is my favorite right here. Dan Lichty, I think a lot of you guys know that name. He has come for 8 years? Yeah, so he's been working on a project in Covington this year. Most of the summer he's been there working with Eric Mount's church down there. So he would come on the weekends And his number one priority was our driveway. I moved here from North Carolina with a truck that had two-wheel drive. I've been struggling up that hill for 3 years, and he said, let's get you a driveway. So that was his first thing. We had maybe 12 guys show up and help us for that. That was it. It's been a huge blessing. We did that the first or second week of camp, so that's been really nice. We redid the stairs going up to the A-frames.
Yeah.
That was one. Yeah, that was covered in grass. Like, you couldn't even see those steps. It's probably been, Ken thought it may have been 25, almost 30 years since those had been dug out and redone. But that was one of our secret projects. We had a group from Southgate actually did that. So they dug those out and re-graveled them. So, oh, and this was kind of right before camp. We ended up going through, that's Tecumseh, looking up to Tecumseh from the road. And those are the steps going up. So last year, if you were in that spot, you could barely even see the steps. Like, there was so much brush covering that. So we went through right before summertime, and we cleared from Tecumseh all the way down to the lake and really improved kind of the site views all around camp on that side of the lake. So hopefully this next off season, next spring, we're going to go through and do the other side of the lake, kind of where the old mini Kedusa was. We're not going to bring that back because we don't want OSHA to show up, but we'll continue that all the way around the lake, so that'll be nice to walk around and see the different views. So, yeah. So it's been a pleasure serving with all the different groups that have come this summer.
Thanks, Pete. So we love to invest, and I like to tell churches where we eat, where we play, where we sleep, and where we learn about God. We're trying to pour our money back in to the ministry to make improvements, and I've kept track of it since 2007. We're now at about $1.3 million that we've spent putting back into the camp in one form or another. That includes buying some land and some different things as well. 2022 summer staff, start with 35. As Drew said, had some interesting elements to that. All but four of them had never been on summer staff before. We had lost those 2 years of recruiting, especially counselors. Last summer we had 11, and Drew was one of those. But what a wonderful group of kids the Lord brought together. And I tell you, there can be a sense where you panic because we really needed 50 kids. We really need 10 guy counselors and 10 girl counselors, and we only had a total of 13. And so we can take up the 10 in the cabin. So in 2019, we had as many as, 210 kids at a camp because we had 21 counselors or so. But this year, we can only have about 130 because of the number of counselors. It's interesting how the Lord took care of that. We had a few weeks where we had a few more than that, and we were able to bring back some of our veterans from the past who helped us. But they always say, as gas prices go, so does camp. And that was true back in 08 when we came, in 09. Camp numbers dwindle when people are paying $500, $600, $700 more a month just to live. And so when gas prices went up, our registrations almost stopped. And so most of our registrations for the summer came before the end of March, in that sense. But this is a wonderful group. And what's amazing is that, here we go back. They call themselves, I think they're the ones that 2022 instead of 2022. And all 13 counselors all knew, only a few of them knew each other. Two girls went to the same church. But it's just so neat to see how that develops. The first day, all the nerves, by the end of the first week, most of the nerves are gone. By the end of the second week, they're like lifelong friends. And there were some buddy romantic type of things that happened as well, which is always a unique element to the summer. But we always like to say once in the family, always in the family. It doesn't mean they can come live at camp forever. It just means they're just part of this Scioto Hills network. And that experience to continue to develop that relationship in years to come. What I've heard, Drew, you can tell me if I'm wrong. Where's Drew? Oh, okay. Speaks and leaves. I know. That's how some evangelists are. All right. So my understanding is all 13 have expressed wanting to come back next year. We need to get that momentum back that we lost. We need to get it rebuilt at Cedarville. It's one of our main fishing grounds for summer staff and then other campus ministries and things. So we're looking forward to that. So we had three large summer guest groups. We did something last year where we told some of our key churches, you were one of them, where we said, if you'll bring your own counselors, we'll do camp for you. And we had seven churches last summer take us up on that. Grayson, Cedarville, and Linworth in Columbus loved it so much that they basically begged us to keep doing it. So we actually created some new summer guest group models for them to follow, and they came our second week of staff training, and we served 430 people in the dining hall that week. Right, Grace was on one side of the lake, Linworth was on the other, and I don't think there was a spare bed anywhere. Right, then we partnered with the regional Wesleyan churches out of Athens in that area. There, I think there's about 12 churches or so that come with them, and they brought 260-some kids to be there, and that was one of our main last weeks of camp. We had three good weeks of New Frontier. That's our kids' camp, second grade through fifth graders for the most part. We had 204 campers in those 3 weeks. The Alpha Camp is our middle school camp, 12 to 15-year-olds in there, 236 kids we had, and that's the group that we were building so much momentum with back in 2019 that our high school camp in 2019 had 150 campers because they were staying. They had gone through junior high camp and they were loving it and they were sticking with it. Well, we pulled the plug on that for 2 years, and as a result, then Revolution Camp was about half the size that it might have been if we would have continued like we did in 2019. But I believe that momentum is going to get, you know, re-brought back, and that those junior high kids are going to stay. And it's interesting, in the 21st century, very few seniors in high school go to camp. And then just a few more than that, juniors go to camp. Their lives are so crazy and hectic, and, you know, trying to pay, you know, $30,000 for a year of college or whatever they're doing, or get on with a job and different things. It's just difficult. Or they're serious athletes, and now they change the Ohio rules about practice time. And so all those things impact that. So most of our high school campers are freshmen and sophomores. And then there's those few faithful that would kill to, you know, miss a week of camp. So this is the Revolution video from the week. I just thought I'd throw that in. I didn't know how long Pete was going to talk, so we'll... I'm joking. Just watch. Here's a high school kid. We hear our song again.
I was dancing alone and cold.
You have brought me back with the riches of your amazing grace and relentless love,
something when kids can get away from those things that distract and fight for their attention. They just develop those friendships. And Carter, I just saw stuff that happened in his cabin that weekend and the other ones as well. So we also have this little mini camp. We allow 7-year-olds to come, 7 through 11-year-olds. And 64 is a good number for us for that. That's kind of designed, it's 3 days, 2 nights, and it's kind of designed to help one, kids who don't want to leave their mama, they'd be gone for 2 nights, and for the mamas who don't want their kids to leave, to give them a chance to experience camp in that sense. What a blessing for kids to have a great time in a safe place, right? And for the most part, bullying is just, I don't know, Colton, did you have bullying in your cabin at all? No, you didn't? Okay, well, I'm glad you said that, because I didn't. But, you know, it's one place where kids can just be loved on and be accepted in so many ways. Now, here's a few things that I've noticed with the new normal, all right? In general, I can't read my words on that one back there. The campers that come, even most of the young ones, which is a difficult thing to evaluate, but as they get older, the campers in general want to learn God's Word. They want to benefit from that. One of the unique elements of the high school camp is we do these 90-minute workshops in the morning that they can choose from. We had a pretty good lineup of sessions for that that they can benefit from. Very few Christian school students come to summer camp. That's in light of being a Christian educator for 27 years before they come to camp, I've started to notice that. And what I'm seeing is the saturation of God's Word from Christian school kids who oftentimes are going there because their parents want them to go there, not by their choice necessarily. So they get Bible every day, they get chapel every day, they get all these different things. And then the church and all that. So the last thing that they want is to come to another week where they hear the Bible again. So it's unfortunate. That's a small demographic of our camp numbers. The ones, though, from Christian school that come, I've just been blessed by, especially the high school students, because they really do want to love the Lord and learn God's Word, and they want to come to camp for that purpose. I would just say about 99% of them, it's their best week of their life. Carter, I don't know what happened. You guys were going to Kings Island. Does camp still rank over Kings Island? I don't know. It doesn't? Okay, so you get out of here. No, I'm joking. So, but at one point, that was the word from your family that camp was their favorite activity this summer. We'll have to talk to you about that later. All right. There's an occasional kid who's bored at camp, and it just blows us away, but that can happen. And mainly, y'all, it's because they spend all day on a video game. And they function to live and play for video games, and camp can't compete in that sense with it. More campers, what does that say here? Many campers felt right at home, but I did notice there was more nervousness at the beginning of camp. Barna, in his research, says one of the main characteristics of students today is anxiety, that they're very anxious. So I did see that. We saw that more in the nurse's station. You just see it a little bit more than normal. But then there's that group that they just love being there, feel completely comfortable, and those new ones end up becoming comfortable in that setting. So camp's one of the greatest places for kids to have a wonderful and safe experience, and it just doesn't happen. It's just a unique element that can. 3 weeks of family camp, 360 campers in our family camp, 78 families came to that. We were running first camp. We didn't do family camp. We added 1 week, started growing, and we added two. Last summer we had four, and we compromised and had three this year. And we could take more families, but our dining hall is getting to where it's pretty crowded, and that's one of the cool elements of family camp in that sense. And what's been a blessing is to see little kids come 8-10 years ago. They come now, and they look forward. Their families, it's like a reunion week for them where they choose what week you're going to next year, and they plan and coordinate that, and just a cool element to our family camp. So let me go back to here. Seekers, Pete mentioned, we did partner with the Memorial Baptist Heritage Fellowship out of Springfield, Southgate Baptist out of Springfield, and they each brought about 10 people with them to run our elementary chapels and then to do some service projects. And we're thankful to get that program going again. So total numbers for the summer, 1,597 with the guest groups. And just to give you a comparison, my largest number since we've come, and since 06, we had 1,656 in 2019. We were on course to break that in 2020, you know, and then that little Rona thing hit, changed that. But that's encouraging to me. And we could have easily been, if we had had the counselors and you throw in gas or whatever, there's a few elements, we easily could have been closer to 2,000 for the summer. So we're grateful for that. And this design for life change just keeps working. I love our high ropes. And we have our high ropes challenge courses for different reasons. But there's a metaphor. There's, in a sense, it's a parable or comparison, right? To teach and to help those who have eyes to see get it. And then there are those who don't get it. But when you stand on the top of a 40-foot wall, you're harnessed into a rope on a cable, and you step off a 40-foot wall, you put the full weight of your life, you put your very existence in a rope. What are you doing? You're trusting the rope to save you so you can have that experience. A 50-foot swing, pull the ripcord. You're trusting the rope. The extreme pole where you stand on a pole and you jump and try to jump to another pole, a trapeze swing, and you trust the rope to protect your life. That's why we do trust fall. You sit on a table and you just fall back and you trust your cabin mates will catch you. It's all related to the fact that what do I have to do to be saved? I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm putting the full weight of my life in Christ. And there's so much value in those high ropes experiences to teach the value and the importance or how to understand what it means to trust, have faith, to put your trust in Christ. To say you're putting the full weight of your life in Him. Your sin, your death, how you're going to live, the whole thing. It's just a beautiful picture that's been developed at camps over the years. And we, according to our records, we had 16 students make professions of faith. I'm always a little reserved about the little ones trusting Christ. We do evangelism training to help with that. It's so much more than just not wanting to die and go to hell and saying a prayer and all those things. We want it to be true conversion, and that's the Holy Spirit's work. We tell our kids to be faithful to the text and let the Holy Spirit do His part. And if no one gets saved, I'm okay with that. As long as we're presenting the gospel. I would rather have one be saved than to have 100 and they didn't know what they did, or next year come back and think they have to do it all over, or had no transformational work in their life. So we're very careful about that element, because camp can be notorious about that. Lots of decisions we hear about, many decisions we don't hear about. The one kiddo that Carter mentioned, I think, he came up to me before he left, and he said, "This week changed my life." He trusted Christ. He went from this, walking around all week with his head down, to walking with his head up, talking to people, engaging people, and having a sense, I believe, as a high school student, the freedom that he found in the gospel. His name's Alex. You may want to pray for him. He lives in Minford, and he's connected with Justin, one of our counselors, and hoping that he will be attending Grace Bigelow Church. So praise God for a normal summer. Fairly normal summer, if there's any normal anymore. Sometimes Kayla did a wonderful job in the kitchen, because we order stuff and it didn't come, they didn't have it, they tried to replace it, so you're planning menus, and I don't think we had one bad meal at camp. Look at me, I ate all of them. So, and the food was just wonderful, but that's an issue, right? toilet paper. Was it toilet paper towels or something? We had to go to three different suppliers to get. All the people in New York City have purchased it all. I don't know. But I keep going back since this COVID thing hit. The steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. He continues to be faithful to us and demonstrate that over and over. Let me finish with a little update on our future plans and where we want to be and how we're going to try to get there. Many of you know we've been trying to do some expansion with some adult friendly, we originally called it Under One Roof Ministry Center, so that if we're going to partner with the local church, that means partnering with the entire church, not just college age and down. And so we've worked hard in the last several years to provide different opportunities for each age group. That's one reason we have the Senior Saint Luncheons, so that even the older folks can come. They don't want to sleep in our bunk beds. They don't want to drive at night. So just come October 13th, the next one, and it'll be a good time that we have for that. Couples, young adults, different things, men's events, ladies' events. And so we're trying to partner. And in doing so, we recognize that we want to provide facilities that are more family, more adult-friendly. And so we've had plans that started brewing back in 2014, and we won't get into all that. It was all stipulated on buying some land, and that thing fell through a little bit. But in the last 5-6 years, we've been able to learn some things, and we believe that this is what the Lord is wanting us to do. We are thankful for a group called the Advantage Tech Team out of Dallas, Texas. It's a Christian ministry group that does architectural work, and they do promotional different things. They come, and we started a little bit with Randy, came out, and we talked to Randy, and then we moved on. And I had looked into some architectural firms, and the one bid I got was for $40,000, and I thought, well, we're not doing that. So Advantage Team is doing all this different master site plan development for us, to take all the ideas that we want to incorporate over these next several years and then to put them in writing and present presentation form so that we can show our donors and other people what we want to try to accomplish here. And so we're thankful. And I know you can't see that picture very well. That's just a bird's eye view. But one of the elements is this idea of a gathering place to worship the Lord with cottages or what we'll call villas or cabins that will be adult family friendly in close proximity to the gathering center. It would be like a worship center devoted to the teaching of God's Word and the worship of our Savior. I think I've got a picture up here. Well, he just sent these to me Friday. And he said, what do these look like? We've talked about land, and the hard thing is Saudi Hills is hills all over, and there's no flat places, and how do we build different places, and what expense goes into some of that. So these are some of his early renditions of what he's trying to put down to help cover our dreams. And so we go back so you can see that spot is where the zip line ends. That road there goes to the Ark. You can see a little bit of the track there, and that gray building is the boulder. It's where we have some of our wood stored and stuff. So the idea of putting a gathering center there with some cabins, he's got 8 of them in there, and those are all dual duplexes that he's got designed in there. And there's some other road and different places where we're looking if we could add, keep adding more and more of those. But it seems like it's becoming a reality. We're trying to get this down to where it'll actually be what we want and where it can work. This is an amazing thing. I don't know if you saw my email or not, but a while back, someone from Pennsylvania, their grandmother worked in the kitchen years ago. He wanted to bless the camp in honor of her. He sent us $10,000, and then we talked, told him about this plan for cottages. He sent me another $10,000. We were thinking that we could build those at the time for around $20,000. He just sent me another check for $40,000 for 2 more cabins. And he texted me and said, I'm going to send another 60,000 so that you have 120,000 so you can build your first five or six cabins. And it just blows me away, right, how that is coming together and the Lord's, you know, helping us see this thing. The gathering place would have a place to eat. There, it would have a worship center that would seat 400, and it would have breakout sessions. And again, that's his initial thought. There's some obviously things we have to talk about, but we're just trying to see if it'll fit in that spot for that. So then RVs, they sold 2020. They sold more RVs than ever before in history. And people have more. Maybe we should have a bigger garden because 21 million new people planted a garden in 2020. But so we're looking at a place where we can do a little RV park for folks to come and participate in different events as well. Other plans that are included with that, obviously expansion of when the worship center is built, we want to create a large indoor challenge ropes course where the current chapel area is in the ark. We want to build a more permanent cafe that's like a Shake Shack shop, a grill kind of thing that has seating designed specifically for that. And then a sixth graders camp we've been wanting to do. Sam's master's program was on developing a sixth grade camp, and we'd love to create a sixth graders only camp because they are those tweens, they call them now. Not quite old enough for those eighth graders going into high school, and a little too old for those, you know, second graders coming to camp. And so a few other elements to that, revisiting Wyandotte and our entrance to the camp. Our entrance is less than, you know, it's just there, right? That's how we get in, but it could be a lot more attractive. So praise the Lord for that. There's some prayer requests. Pray for our staff's health. Pray for our development and recruiting a staff. Pray for our planning as we move into next year with our different events. The financial element of the camp, the Lord's been good to us. We started, was that last year we started? 2 years ago, Impact Partners. And, you know, that thing's growing where we're having more and more people that are giving to the camp on a monthly basis. Our largest monthly gift, right, is $1,200 a month. Someone's given, and we have some that are for 5 or 10 a month, and they all add up and make a difference. And so we're excited about that. And what else do I have up there? It's so hard for me to read. You probably can't read it either. And a lot of in the last few years, there's about 12 now new churches that have contacted us who are wanting to be part of Scioto Hills. And trying to develop those relationships. It takes about 3 to 5 years for a church to say, we want to do camp, and in 3 to 5 years where their kids are actually coming, there'll be maybe one or two that come, and then it grows from there. The last thing I want to mention is Ohio has created this program. It's called ACE. It actually stands for After School Child Enrichment, After School Child something, education. Ohio has designated this year $50 million, next year $75 million for kids to do summer activities. And in that includes up to $500 for them to go to camp, and it includes Christian camps, which is unheard of, you know, 10 years ago. I think there was a lot more done in the former administration to free up some of that, where that separation of church and state thing has maybe run its course a little bit more. So it's amazing because a family of six can, if they earn over $140,000 a year, they can't qualify. So a vast majority of our campers are going to be able to qualify. So we have to evaluate what we're going to do with pricing, what we're going to do with scholarships. And for folks that if they want to apply for that, we had a few come this summer, and we're registered now as one of the recipients of that. So we're excited about how that may help us to provide a what we need to. Years ago, Dave and I sat down, and we were charging about $250 a kid to come to camp, and I think the number Dave came up with was like $490 or something that he thought we should be charging for a camper for what we offer. But the Lord just seems to continue to bless, right, in that, and we're just delighted to be able to be part of that. All right. Any questions or comments? I think that comes to the end. I think I've got a little thank you thing on here. So pretty cool. Fireworks. Look at that. Family camp fireworks picture. Pretty cool. But thanks for your prayers, encouragement. Thank you for your relationships. Thank you for your financial donations. The church does wonderful things to help out the camp. And we just enjoy and are so blessed to have the relationship that we have here. Any comments or questions before we close? Hopefully we'll be in church now for the next several months. It seems like January to May, we're never here, so we don't get to see all. But and then just also Pam's mom, she came to church this morning. It was really cool. 91, she's living with us for just a little bit. And so we're going to have to be trading off at times to do some things here for her sake. All right. Douglas, you want to close us in a word of prayer, please?
Yeah. Jesus, thank you so much for all that you have done. As I would have us, thank you so much for your faithfulness, your love, mercy, and grace. Thank you so much for all that was done there, all the work that was planned, and all the seeds that were plan to, God, may your word increase the hearts and lives of people that attend Sabbaths. Also give rest to those that work and volunteer this summer. And God, this is special thing. Thank you for the people that you put in the classes. Thank you that you allowed my daughter to learn and things that she is treasuring, and thank you, God, for the opportunity to work there too. And thank you so much for this church. Amen.
Let me say one last thing.
How many of you buy groceries or gas? All right, so you have a Kroger card, right? Get your points. So if you aren't registered for a charity, Kroger gives us some of your money, you know, for you buying groceries or gas. We get a check, oh man, for about $1,100 every quarter or so. And that's with 60 people. If we had 600 people doing that, and that would be an easy thing. So all you have to register for it. This card explains all that. I left some out there. And if you're not already, if you've got some school you're supporting or whatever, don't change. But if you're not, if your card at Kroger is not benefiting a ministry or a kids ministry or program, then you ought to consider supporting the camp. You just have to, the pain is you have to renew it every year. But think about that. So, you know, we're getting about $4,500 a year from 60 people buying groceries, right, and buying gas. So that can have a huge impact. And it just, you know, the Kroger limited it just to this area for us. And so anyway, you can take one of those. If you're interested in being an impact partner, too, we can talk to you about that as well. Brad?
Amazon does it as well. Right?
Amazon, yes. Yes, Amazon Smile is the same thing. You can choose Siley Hills for that, yeah. And then there's the Scott Bruns Retirement Fund. No, there's not that. Not at all. But Lord bless you all. Thank you.
We'll stop this before. What a blessing.
Thank you so much. What a great evening this has been. We love Scioto Hills, and our hearts are just full to hear this report. So thanks. Thanks to all of you that serve there. We love you and appreciate you. So you're dismissed.